Hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of the Crick Blog podcast. It's another good day. Australia keep winning, England keep losing. Long may it continue. So we're here to talk
Well,
about
India keep winning as well. I mean, I know England is losing,
listen,
but India is winning.
For me, that's irrelevant. England are losing. So we'll talk about that. And yes, we'll talk about India's win. Yeah, no worries, Nash. We'll talk about that. Australia's fantastic series win in Sri Lanka, another thumping win this time in the second test. We'll dissect that, a few of the talking points. India's ODI series win against England, what that means for the Champions Trophy, how both of those teams are looking. Nash, how's things first of all? And India's series win against England, some positives there, I think, with Rohit Sharma playing really well.
Yeah, a lot of positives. Life is good. Australia is winning, India is winning, England is losing, as you said. So yeah, life is good.
Absolutely,
It
man.
can be better. It can be better. And we'll have to see how better it gets during the Champions Trophy as well. Because look, at the moment, I think Rohit, like you said, Rohit Sharma scoring runs. It'll be really good to see Virat Kohli score runs as well in the format he loves. And let's first talk about Australia actually, because it was an easy win, wasn't it? Like it was a convincing thumping victory in Sri Lanka. And I look, honestly, I didn't expect that. I expected maybe a 1-1 or maybe a 1-0 loss perhaps to Australia, but I wasn't expecting such an easy series win
Neither was I.
Without much, the first test they batted only once, and the second test, Sri Lanka didn't score beyond 260 in the series. Was it just, what do you think? Was it, I mean, yes, Australia bowled really well, but where did it all go wrong for Sri Lanka, and how has Australia managed this?
Yeah, I mean, starting off, I thought we're losing the toss. I said we're in for a big challenge in that second test, because losing the toss in goal, you're up against it. It's tough from there, because the pitch is only going to get worse and worse. But I thought the first 2 days completely dominated. Where it went wrong for Sri Lanka, oh, they didn't bowl well. First of all, they didn't put us, I think, under enough pressure. We batted very well. I think credit to the boys, the way they played. But Sri Lanka, I thought, were quite inconsistent with the ball. I thought the spinners underwhelmed. I thought Prabhat Jayasurya, the senior guy in that team in terms of the spin and how good he's been on that ground, I thought maybe underwhelmed until the second innings. The latter part of Australia's first innings in the second test, where he took a bunch of wickets on the third day. But yeah, I think, and they just, I think Dhananjaya De Silva was just unable to build any sort of pressure as a captain. You know, we've been critical of Red Bull captains just letting things drift in the past, and I think he did that in this series. And when you look at the guys like Steve Smith, and I'll touch on Alex Carey shortly as well, you give them an invitation to score runs, and then they'll score big against you. But I think generally Australia, with the technique with the bat, I thought was quite good. Their approach was very clear. Good use of the feet. They swept well. And those first 2 days, we got so far in front that it was going to take something monumental for Sri Lanka to bounce back. And they nearly did in a sense. They sort of fought back on that third day, got into a lead, and then gave it away late on in that day. But yeah, I think it's a fantastic result for us to go away in Asia anywhere and sweep a series. Very, very happy with that, man.
So now coming to Australia's batting worries, I know I feel you know where this is going, but
our number three,
the biggest concern. I'm just looking at the stats. Looking from the bottom, it's all Nathan Lyon, Cooper Connolly, Fernando Kuhneman, for Australia, Stark, and then there's Labuschagne, who managed 50 runs in three innings and at an average of 25. So, and this is not on a difficult pitch, because all the other batters, including Joss Inglis in his debut test, scored 100. So Where is Australia going on Labuschagne from here in
Yeah.
terms of, and we spoke about this last week as
We
well. The
did.
question keeps coming. The question keeps coming because he's not improving at the moment, is he?
No, the question doesn't go away. And for me, the dismissal in the first innings of this test was quite worrying. I think for a number three, that's your bread and butter delivery. You that's a full ball. You get forward to it. You make sure you play for the straight ball. I don't know what he was trying to do there. He sort of pressed forward, then he wanted to play back. He was stuck in no man's land, then he was trying to punch through the covers and yeah, got into a terrible position. I think that's a bit of a concern where he's got out in similar fashion in Asia before, stuck on the crease. Ravi Jadeja comes to mind a couple of years ago, catching Labuschagne on the crease, neither forward nor back. So that hasn't been fixed in Asia, but even outside of Asia, the runs are short. Whether it was the Border Gavaskar Trophy, I know he played some important knocks there, but the last summer against Pakistan and West Indies, short on runs. It's been a poor cycle for him. But if I have to see where he goes from here, I think Australia will persist with him in the World Test Championship final. That's my guess. I don't think we'll make a change or anything like that for, that big game, where it's a one-off. They'll stick with what they know, knowing this Australia team management. But if he doesn't perform well in that game and then doesn't start the West Indies series well, provided he's picked in that,
I mean,
then you might have to look elsewhere just for the moment.
and we are in February 2025. Manus Labuschagne has 100 since 8th of December 2022.
It's terrible.
So his last 100 came in, in 2023, July in the Ashes, at Manchester, which was 111. Before that, the 100 was in 2022. So, I could see about 40 innings with just 100, for Labuschagne, and it's worrying. There are a couple of 50s in there. There's a couple of not outs as well, but overall, it's a cause for concern for Australia.
It is. And it's just the footwork and probably overthinking things a little bit.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, I think
And
those two things.
it's not so much, it is the form as well, but it's the matter in which he's getting out.
Yeah, agree. Agree. And even in the first test, as you mentioned, sort of everyone else was piling on the runs and he was the one struggling the most against the spin. So that was a bit of a concern. I'm not sure if he's playing county cricket before the World Test Championship final. That's something I need to look at. So Australia probably watched that form. If he is playing in England before the Test Championship final, I have to keep an eye on that and see his form before that match. But yeah, man, I hope for his sake that he gets to the Ashes and he's scoring runs because we know Manus can score big. And that's why I think the selectors just holding on there just that, because the runs can be made from him. There is something there. But the problem is when you're not scoring and you think about the game as much as Manus does, you can put yourself into a deeper hole. Start overthinking things a lot. Sometimes the
Absolutely.
solution is just get away from it for a little bit. But it doesn't seem he's that sort of guy. He loves the game that much and thinks about it all the time. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens later in the year. It's a big middle part of the year for Manus, I think, that will really decide whether he starts in the Ashes at the end of the year. But I think
From
there's a
at
lot of
a
other positives, though. Like
yeah,
Steve Smith is well and truly
exactly.
back.
I was coming to that from the batter who's not able to buy any runs to the batter who's not able to let any runs go away
Yes,
easily.
it's fantastic. Yeah.
Steve Smith, I mean,
Man.
at some point you have to accept that he is one of the greatest or possibly the greatest test batter this generation has ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about our generation, but this current generation.
It's a big call, and I don't like always comparing different eras. There's always different
Absolutely,
variables.
absolutely.
But yeah, he's in the conversation for a lot of things. Just the manner in which and how many runs he's scored, the manner in which he plays, the manner in which he adapts across conditions, is just phenomenal. His record right around the world, how well he plays pace, 140 kilometers plus, but also how well he plays spin, footwork. Absolutely elite coming down the pitch and then bringing out the sweep shot. I think once he's set in his innings, that's when the sweep shot will come. But defensively, and then coming down the pitch and picking length so early. I'm just so happy that this second coming, as sort of come upon us again. We were worried, and
Yep.
there was a lot of commentary on social media. He's done, the eye is gone. He was relying on hand-eye coordination, and he doesn't have that anymore. And he was struggling for a bit, but I'm so happy that he spent all that time and worked so hard at the Gabba, and that has just done him the world of good. He's made 400s in the last 5 tests, 36 test hundreds. Equal with Joe Root in 36 fewer tests. So when we talk about best batter of this generation, Joe Root, okay, people think he's in the conversation. He's the best. Well, Smith, I think, outperforms him on a number of metrics.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
Smith,
Easily.
what Smith does as well, I'm not saying Joe Root doesn't do this, but Smith does it on a much more regular basis, is he owns a series. Like, there's been some times where I've seen Joe Root perform really well in the first test of an away series, but then it's a bit more quiet as the series goes on. Smith just goes the whole series. He's done it before in Ashes, and he's done it in India, and here in Sri Lanka, man of the series, outstanding, and just so thrilled for him. And the
Look,
Barmy owners said he
I'll
was stat
still
padding.
put
Let's see him stat pad next summer.
I'll still put his innings in Pune back in 2017 as one of the best I've ever seen by a touring batter. One of the best. I mean, the way he navigated all the bowlers, the pitch was absolutely spinning square,
Yeah,
and
that was a minefield, that pitch.
yeah, I mean,
Absolutely.
he's the red ball great. He's a test
Is
great
he's a
at the
test
moment.
great, and yeah, absolutely outstanding. I thought the way he played, and I thought the way he complimented Alex Carey, onto Carey. I've spoken of his well, I've spoken his praises, a few times on this podcast before, that there's a lot to like about him, but it's probably the best I've seen him bat. In terms of the control he showed. Previously, when Carey, the last Border Gavaskar Trophy, the only scoring option was the sweep. Now, that's still his bread and butter shot, and his main scoring shot. But I thought the way he played in front of the wicket was really impressive in this innings. Playing down the ground really well, playing square of the wicket really well, cutting down the ground, coming down the pitch. Because you don't want just the sweep to be your option. Good spinners, good teams will find you out. So Alex Carey scoring runs, and I thought his glove work. For you watch some great keepers for India, keeping spinning conditions. You must be impressed with Carey. I mean, that was
Absolutely.
fantastic
Absolutely.
keeping.
He was he did not let his concentration slide even
No,
for a minute. He was up
absolutely
there
brilliant.
all the time.
And it's not easy, man.
To be fair, he didn't have to keep for long, but
That's true. But I
but
think
no, I mean, look,
when he had
he
to
has
keep, he was
been
great. When he had to keep, he
yeah,
was
he has
excellent.
been phenomenal for Australia in behind the stumps for a while now. So yeah, and the runs will flow. I think he's what, 30, 31, so, and he's got a couple of three, four now, four Asia tours under his belt. I think two Pakistan, one Sri Lanka, one India. So yeah, he will score more runs in the last whatever years he has left of his test career. And I think the only thing I could find from whatever I saw while he was batting is he doesn't have that much of soft hands. Where what I mean by that is when he pushes on the offside, he pushes with really hard hands, and
Fair.
that might be something that bowlers will look to explore in that area, because if the pitch starts turning, I mean, which it was in Sri Lanka as well, but the bowlers didn't bowl that well, and if he keeps pushing on the offside with hard hands, he's sure to get an edge to the slip or short leg.
It's an interesting point. Yeah. Analysts will look at that. No, that's fair. And then you got to continue to evolve as a player in Asia. But overall, I think even, you say push hards outside off stump a little bit, but I thought even his defense on the stumps was very, very solid. So positive. Absolutely brilliant. And on the bowling side, I thought, now one negative I probably will have out of this, and it might sound weird saying this given we've won so easily, but I don't like seeing Australia drop a bowler to lengthen the batting lineup. It seems like an un-Australian thing to do. It's a very defensive thing. And this is nothing against Cooper Connolly per se, but dropping Murphy for Connolly and And then on the third day, you're thinking, oh, we're toiling a little bit here. We don't mind another bowler in
Where
our lineup.
my question is, where do you think that thinking comes from? Is
So the
it
thing, yeah.
because is it because the management and Smith as the captain didn't think his batters would follow up after that first test win again with so much concentration, or
I think they had a fear of the pitch being a minefield. So they wanted to lengthen their batting lineup. And then, given that the pitch they thought would be a minefield and really difficult to bat on, they think Lyon and Kuniman, who did most of the damage in the first test, will do the damage again in the second. They'll do the majority of the overs, majority of the bowling, and they can do the majority of the damage again. And then Mitch Starc can come in as well. And we've got other options like your Connollys and Bo Websters and Travis Head, who can fill in with overs as well. So I understand that sort of thinking, but there's a risk involved with that.
I
And
mean,
if it
Bo
doesn't
Webster
go
is a
right,
genuine all-rounder. He doesn't just fill in with the overs
true, but
whenever.
he didn't
He's a
bowl a
genuine
lot, right?
all-rounder.
True, but
He
he didn't bowl.
wasn't needed. I'll say he wasn't needed.
Yeah, he took a couple of wickets in the second innings, but he didn't bowl in the first test, right? So the thinking was that Lyon and Kuhneman were going to do the majority of the damage. And they did in the end, but it's not something you want to see, I think, Australia do too often in terms of dropping a specialist bowler to lengthen your batting lineup. I think India did that, I think, as a mistake in this series in Australia, the Border Gavaskar Trophy, where you played your two spinners to try and lengthen your batting lineup, but your pace attack suffered and your bowling penetration suffered. So,
Let's not go there again. So yeah, let's keep moving
I
on.
don't mind going, as I said last week, I'll go back subtly, but you get my point. But Kuniman, brilliant. I said to you before the series that, I was saying on Twitter that he's our second picked in the attack in Asia, ahead of Murphy, alongside Lyon, having a left arm spinner there who's accurate is so important in those conditions. And then Lyon goes past 550 wickets, and that's such an amazing achievement. 550 plus test wickets for a conventional off spinner from Australia, averaging just a touch over 30.
Is he the
Wonderful.
first one?
The
I think
first
so,
what?
isn't he? The first off spinner from Australia to
To.
cross,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
to, I think, yeah.
Mate, there
I
wasn't even an
mean,
off spinner from Australia who got 200 wickets.
yeah,
He's
exactly.
so
That's what I
far in
mean.
front.
That's what I
Oh,
mean. I was just trying to think, what are the off spinners I know of from Australia, to be honest.
No, absolutely. I mean, Lyon went past the record a long time ago. It may have been Ashley Mallett who was the off spinner who he went past. Ashley Mallett took 132 wickets. Just having a look here. He was a right arm off break bowler. I'm not sure if he was the highest before Lyon in terms of off spinners. I have to check that. That's the name that comes to my mind. But Lyon is so far clear. Yeah,
Well,
just so good.
before Nathan Lyon, Hugh Trumbull held the record for
Trumbull.
most wickets by an off spinner, and that was 141. So
Ah, yes.
not even
Those,
150, let alone
yeah, not even
200.
150, and he's got 550. So a wonderful career. And it's interesting because there was a lot of criticism for Australia from Australia, or sorry, for Australia by Australia fans. Why would you pick Cooper Connolly? He's got four first-class matches of experience, but we picked Nathan Lyon. He had five first-class matches of experience, or six, or whatever it was. And Pat Cummins had three when he made his debut. So, it's not necessarily against Connolly I'm saying these things, but it's the sense that don't weaken your attack too much to try strengthen your batting in the future. But yeah, Lyon and Kuhneman and Stark in the first innings did a terrific job, and Head and Webster chipped in as well. So overall, wonderful win. If you offered me 2-0 before the series, I would have been absolutely thrilled to go away to Sri Lanka and win 2-0. That's just fantastic.
Well, from one series victory for Australia to another series victory for India against England. Winning the series 2-0 with one game to go in Ahmedabad. I think India have been clinical in this entire series. There were early hiccups in the first 10 overs in both matches. They went for a few runs, but I think they pulled it back brilliantly in the middle overs. And having with batting as well, seeing Rohit Sharma back in form, scoring hundreds at the top, and not throwing away with quick fire 30s and 40s. I think that's what he has to do. That's what we know Rohit Sharma, the one day batter, the great one day batter for. I never doubt Rohit Sharma in the one day format. Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, both absolute greats of the one day format. And look, to be honest, I think Virat Kohli will come good as well. People have this sort of what do you want to call it? Not recency bias, but like they combine multiple formats and they try and think, oh, he hasn't scored any runs, but yes, but that's the test format. He had absolutely an all-timer World Cup with 700 plus runs, then didn't play one day for the next 12 months. So you can't really. I think that was his first one day after the World Cup, wasn't it? I can't think whether
Yeah, I
he
think
played
India played
Sri Lanka
just.
series. I don't think Kohli played the Sri Lanka series. So Rohit did, but it was good to see Rohit back scoring 100 again.
I mean, look, you think it's the same with Rohit Sharma as well. Like, I saw some points on Twitter saying that Rohit is out of form and should be dropped, but Rohit is one of your all-timers. Rohit is one of your all-timers in one-day cricket. An absolute colossus of the format. So he's got 22 hundreds in one-day cricket since turning 30. Now, that's all-time best. And 22 ODI hundreds represents a magnificent career for just about any player. If you're a player and you achieve 22 one-day international hundreds, you are thrilled with that. This guy's got 22 hundreds since turning 30. So, when we talk about Rohit, he deserves his flowers, he deserves his praise in one-day cricket. We've been critical of him as a captain in Test cricket, but this is different, right? This is one-day international cricket where he's so good in this format. And then you talk about Kohli having a great 2023 World Cup campaign. Well, Rohit did as well. And I think
Absolutely.
Rohit being so positive and being so dynamic and damaging at the top. Let's say Bumrah doesn't play in the Champions Trophy, which is a possibility. India are going to need as many runs as they can get, and they're going to need Rohit performing well at the top. So it's good news for India on that front.
And one thing I want to point out is in the first ODI, I think Jaiswal made his debut and Kohli did not play. But and Iyer played a really, really great knock. And there were talks, like I think in the post-match interview or mid-innings, he said that he wasn't sure whether he was going to play, because if Kohli had played, then they were still giving Jaiswal the debut, and then Iyer was going to be dropped, which I think is,
To me, it's
it's to
crazy.
be honest, it's pathetic. And you can't drop Iyer, because that at the moment that batting lineup is so set for India. I think there's no need
Definitely.
to tinker with that batting lineup at all. Like, there's Sharma and Gill at the top, there's Kohli at number three and Iyer at number four. That top four, any team would kill to have that top four. You got a guy with one of the best openers of white ball cricket, and then a guy who has 50 hundreds at an average of 54 in one day international. What more do you want?
That's right.
And you can't be dropping Iyer at number four as well. He has to play
Definitely
at
not.
number four.
You said Kohli's got an average of 54. You're doing him a disservice. He's got an average of 58 in one day
Sorry,
cricket.
58.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry, 58.
But you're right.
Yep.
And that
My
was crazy
mistake.
to me as well, because Shreyas Iyer's numbers and his performances at number four have been absolutely magnificent in ODI cricket the last few years. And we saw the piece come out that Australia really focused on Shreyas Iyer ahead of the World Cup final. They saw him as a big threat at number four. And we got him early in that final. That was a big reason why I think we went on and won. So when you're tinkering and thinking, oh, we might not play Shreyas Iyer, it's crazy. India have had problems with the number four position in the past. This guy's come in and he's made it his own. Another thing I think India tinkering with is, why is Akshar Patel coming in at five? Why not KL Rahul? Like, because K. Rahul has also been very good at number
I
five.
thought that as well.
Because when
And
we talk about
look,
recent, yeah.
KL Rahul didn't do himself any good yesterday. He should have taken India home when he got out. But I think, look, you have to give KL Rahul a longer rope here. I mean, he has done anything the team needs him to do. He has kept wickets. He has batted in the middle order. He has batted number three. The only thing he hasn't done is bowl a ball. So KL
Prime in his
Rahul,
best
I
position,
think
though, surely.
exactly, he has to play at number five. And this whole idea of left-right combination, which Gautam Gambhir somehow has in his head, is beyond anyone's understanding, to be honest. Because you play your best 11, doesn't matter whether they are left or right.
Yeah.
You play your best 11,
I
and
know.
especially in one-day internationals where the pitches are becoming flatter and flatter day by day, it shouldn't matter whether you're playing left or right. It should
Yeah.
matter what's your best playing 11.
You'd rather bet your best combinations and your best playing 11 rather than just left right for the sake of it sometimes. Sometimes they will force it teams. When you've got Rohit, as you said, Shubman Gill, Virat Kohli, Shreyas Iyer, and K. Rahul, I think it's a good top five. And then you've got Akshar and Jadeja there, the left-handed options towards the back end, with Hardik Pandya there as well. Yeah, that's a strong, top six, top seven for India.
Absolutely. I mean, let me ask you, as an Australian fan, if you come up against that batting lineup, let's say you got Sharma and Gill at the top, Kohli at number three, Iyer at number four, Rahul at number five, and then you go, if you get them out, let's say by 30th over, all five of those, you still got Akshar Patel, Jadeja, and Pandya to come in.
Been there, done that, bro. Been there, done that.
I fell into that one. I fell into that one myself. But all I wanted to say, as an opposition, you're still going to be sweating a bit, and you're still going to be having plan Bs, plan Cs, plan Ds.
Absolutely. And that's why Australia won that final, because our planning was so good. You've got to plan well against these guys, right? And I think teams heading into this Champions Trophy, they plan very well against every team, but you've got to plan particularly well against India. What are the sort of weaknesses that you can target certain players with? Do you look to really, go after Shreyas Iyer, for example, with a short ball, and can Shreyas Iyer overcome that? That's going to be a big thing. But also India tactically. Under pressure, India in these big games. Say we're getting, they should make the semi-finals of the Champions Trophy and the final, in my opinion. Can they keep their cool in those big games and stay tactically sound? And that's going to be key, because the opposition's got to be tactically sound, but so do India. But you've got the resources to do well. So we've spoken about the batting. That's very good. I mean, Jadeja's performances with the ball have been absolutely outstanding this series. What do you make of the rest of the bowling attack at the moment? So I've noticed Ashdeep Singh has not been picked yet in this series.
I think they look, I get the whole outrage over why Ashdeep Singh isn't playing. But I think if Bumrah isn't going to play the Champions Trophy, then Harshit Rana comes in. From the looks of it, Harshit Rana comes in as his backup. And if that's the case, then he needed some game time. I think it
Yes.
just we just have to really we just have to wait and see what happens with the Champions Trophy, and then we'll know why this decision was made in this series as well. So if it does pay off for Harshit Rana, I think it's really good to get a few games under his
Yeah.
belt before a big tournament. And I'm not too worried about the rest of the bowling attack, because Jadeja, as you said, has come back into form. He seems to be getting better with age. I wasn't too keen on Jadeja in one days after the World Cup, but I think he has shown in this series that he's still right up there. And you can't really fault him with batting or fielding. It was just his bowling that was not really up to the mark. So I mean, couple that with Chakravarti as well, who's getting into his own in the format, had a really good T20 series as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see, if Bumrah doesn't play, how India pulls together as a bowling unit. It's really going to be interesting to see, and that's where Mohammad Shami and Hardik Pandya as the leaders come in.
Absolutely critical. What do you make of Chakravarti in the ODI format? Because I've seen some commentary that he's not suited to the format, other opinions that he should be given more time and that he can do well. What's your view?
I mean, look, I wouldn't say he's not suited to the format. T20 is a stronger format. I agree with that, but we have to give him some time. We have to, let a few games under his belt. And he didn't bowl badly. He didn't, he wasn't looking clueless. after the T20, he went on, in the one day yesterday, he went at a rate of 5.4. England did pick him a bit better, but I think he could certainly improve in certain areas.
Ultimately, he conceded three fours and a 1-6 in his 10 overs. And you take that in the middle, keeping things relatively tight, under a runner ball, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think for India, they've got to find ways in this tournament. Wickets up front with no Bumrah there. Can
And
Shami
look,
find his best form?
for Chakravarti, sorry, for Chakravarti, I think it's important to know that when you go from bowling 4 overs in a game to bowling 10 overs in a game
Yeah,
at an international level, your body reacts differently. Even though
definitely.
you might have played, domestic competitions and club games and whatnot, but playing a 50 or one day international for your at the international level, it's certainly your body will react differently. Your mental strength will react differently. So, and then that was his first ODI game. So I think you just have to give him some time.
Yeah.
We'll know by, let's say, by end of the year, if he plays more ODIs, we'll know by end of the year whether he's up there or not.
True, true. I agree with you. I think he needs more time from England. I mean, I just think that there was such a good ODI side, 6+ years ago, but they've just, I think they lost 15 of
Has been, Shabel, has been. Oh,
15 of the
your voice
last
is gone.
22 matches they've lost. And I know what tempo to go at times, and they just don't have the team balance right. I think Jamie Overton to number 7. They've got to find someone different for that role. I don't know why they're not picking Liam Dawson, but beats me. But yeah, they've got to probably look at their depth a little bit better in the makeup of their bowling attack. And but yeah, look, they could go for some Champions Trophy. England's that sort of team that, if say a Ben Duckett or Jos Buttler or Joe Root, they go crazy on their day, they cause problems. I'm not denying that, but I think the makeup of that team is just seems something's missing in
I
terms of
mean,
balance and in terms of
Ben, I still don't understand how. I mean, it's a collective crime that Ben Duckett has been made into this swashbuckling opener. It's a collective crime by rest of the oppositions across the world, by teams across the world, that they have let Ben Duckett become this opener. I mean, he was on 40 or 45, and he hadn't scored a single run in the mid-off region. In that hole from cover to the stumps region, and
No.
he can't score a run there. It's not like he hasn't. He can't. He technically can't score a run there. I mean, if you look at his
That's where
batting,
teams have got
he
to keep
all
it to
he
him, right?
does
Yeah.
exactly all he does is he tries to cut every single ball that he gets, and
Yeah, yeah.
you can't let such a batter score runs, to be honest. Sorry, I'm sorry.
I think, look, it's a bit disrespectful to him. I like to sink the boot into England at every opportunity. I think he's a decent player, but you're right. I think
You
teams
just
can
want him
plan
to
better
come
to
to
him.
Australia for the Ashes. That's it. As an easy wicket.
We'll fix him up there. But you're right, the mid-off region. If you want to cut, and I know Australia will plan for him. Yeah, and I saw the wagon wheel, and yeah, there was nothing in that mid-off region. So teams have got to look at that foolish length outside off stump.
Absolutely.
And if he wants to try cut, then you can have cover for that shot, whether it's sort of a whitish third man or whatever it be. But yeah. And I think England got to figure out their middle order as well. Livingston remains inconsistent. As I said, Jamie Overton's not necessarily a 7. Yeah. So we'll wait and see what England do. But who knows what
Yep.
they'll do in the Champions Trophy, honestly. We'll wait and see.
Really interesting to see. Last ODI of the series on 12th of Feb, day after. Decision on Bumrah will be taken on 11th of February. Just saw the article, and
So that's
hopefully it's
tomorrow.
a positive. Yep. Hopefully it's a positive one for India.
Would you risk him? Would you risk him?
It depends how fit he is. If there's even 1% chance that he's not 110% fit, don't risk him. And if he's like, oh, he's jumping all around, I'm ready to go, then yeah, I mean, he's a cricketer. He will be raring to go. But to be honest, no, is the short answer. I want him for that England tour, more than anything else. So yeah. But anyway, I will be here talking about Champions Trophy, talking about Bumrah, talking about India,
We will
England.
be.
Lot of cricket to come. Lot of cricket to come. That's exciting. Thank you all. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the watchers on YouTube, viewers on YouTube, and keep subscribing, keep liking, keep commenting and listening wherever you get your podcast, Apple or Spotify. Thank you so much. Have a good night, Shabel. See you later.
Thank you, man. Thanks, everyone.